Hello, folks, and welcome to my WWE Raw review show for the 30th of April 2018. That was a bit of a mouthful. Apparently, this was the go-home show for Backlash, which I didn't realise until I was told on my Football Manager stream last night. I thought we had another week to go to Backlash. It seems crazy to have had the greatest Royal Rumble a week before Backlash. It made that even more of a nonsense. Apologies, I wasn't able to do a review podcast for the greatest Royal Rumble. Time just got away from me over the weekend. I had my Nuneaton meetup. I had various other things. I had a gas leak in my house. So if there's anything that we need to slot in about the greatest Royal Rumble to fit in with Raw and Backlash, then we'll mention it. But otherwise, my general thoughts on the greatest Royal Rumble were... Now I know what it's like to go to a WWE house show. So that's pretty much a summary of that in a mouthful. Thank you to those of you who've already subscribed to the channel, liked the video, subscribed to the podcast on iTunes, left reviews over there, all that kind of stuff is massively helpful. Those of you who have asked as well, I promise the podcast will be available on Spotify and Google very, very soon. It just seems to be taking longer to appear on there than it does to appear on iTunes. But anyway, enough of all that. Oh, look, there's the man himself in the chat. Jack, who's the one who told me about Backlash being this weekend, is in the chat. Hello, Jack. How are you doing? As usual, we'll go through my thoughts on this week's Raw, and then those of you who are watching live on YouTube can have the opportunity to have your say at the end, and then we'll go again tomorrow with SmackDown. So, this episode of Raw was in Montreal, if you hadn't guessed from figuring it out that this was in Canada. And goodness me, were they excited to see all of these wrestlers, particularly the Canadian ones. Although not Jinder Mahal, interestingly, who I believe is Canadian as well. But Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, biggest babyface pops I've heard in a long, long time. The Sami Zayn one in particular was right up there with Daniel Bryan. It was mad. And they just seemed to, I don't know, they went from early on in the show acknowledging that and having the two of them come out, talk a little bit of French, do babyface entrances against Roman Reigns, who was getting booed out of the building and was clearly a heel for the night despite cutting a babyface promo. But then they book a match that has the most over face in the whole of WWE at the moment, Braun Strowman, teaming with the one who got booed, Roman Reigns, against the two local heroes who are being booked as babyfaces tonight. And we'll get to that, but it pickled my mind. So Roman Reigns came out making his excuse, despite having no excuses or words to that effect. I've not heard him be booed like that for a long time. It was pretty spectacular, the level of boos that Roman Reigns was getting. If I was backstage in WWE at that point, I think I'd probably say, actually, you know what? We're not going to send Jinder out first. We'll send one of the local lads out just so that the boos don't blow the roof off of this place. But they're getting Roman Reigns. He's booed massively. And out comes Jinder Mahal, just inserting himself into the main event picture on Raw, saying, it doesn't matter that I've lost the US title. I'm going to be in this main event picture over here because I'm Jinder Mahal and I'm super duper, etc., etc. So he comes out and gets mega, mega booed as well. And for a minute there, I thought we were entering into a Roman Reigns against Jinder Mahal program. There's a chance we might still get a Roman Reigns against Jinder Mahal program at some point, but thank goodness they managed to veer away from it tonight by having Sami Zayn come out to that amazing pop, talk a little bit of French, and then Kevin Owens come out to an amazing pop and then talk a little bit of French. They did the popularity contest to decide who would face Roman Reigns. I think Sami got more cheers than Kevin Owens, but it was scripted to be Kevin Owens who won that because he's the one WWE see as the big Canadian star. But either way, the two of them were so very over. I'm trying to remember how it ended up breaking down. Presumably one of them hit Roman, probably Jinder. It feels like the sort of thing Jinder would do. And it ended up in a bit of a beatdown, 4-on-1 with whichever Singh brother is there getting involved as well. And then it started to get weird because we had Bobby Lashley coming out to make the save. Bobby Lashley, who at the moment is supposed to be a babyface, comes out to attack Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, who are being cheered while they're attacking Roman Reigns, who's being booed. This is not a way to get people to care about Bobby Lashley, but he still gets overpowered. It's 4-on-2 at this point. And then Braun Strowman comes out, who obviously is going to get cheered because he's massively over. But he comes out to attack Zayn and Owens, who are also being cheered. And for some reason, he's now friends with Roman Reigns and is coming out to save him, despite the last time I remember these two having anything to do with each other. They were driving the ambulances into walls and tipping trucks up with each other in and just generally trying to kill each other. They were trying to kill each other. And now they're big buddies because Braun just happens to be a babyface now, which the crowd turned him babyface, but apparently the crowd can't turn Roman heel. And then we got that crazy match booked where you've got Jinder being booed on one team with two Canadians being cheered as his teammates, Braun being cheered on the other team with Roman, who's being booed even more than Jinder, and Bobby Lashley just jumping around going, "Somebody look at me! I'm here too! I'm Bobby Lashley! Care about me, please!" And nobody did. And it was just a very, very strange opening segment. But the crowd were fantastic. What a departure from the library that they did the greatest Royal Rumble in the other day. So it was nice to have some kind of crowd reaction. And we got that throughout the show as well. It wasn't just all used up in that first segment when they got all the big stars out there. Elias then beat Bobby Roode via stoppage. I mean, this is what it says on the WWE website. Elias defeated Bobby Roode via match stoppage. Now, this confused me as well. Talk about some weird booking decisions on this show. Elias goes after Bobby Roode's throat, because, you know, that's what you do. But then Bobby Roode starts singing and shouting, and they even said on commentary, was it Coachman who said, "You don't want to be shouting if you've got a sore throat," or words to that effect. And then he threw Roode into the corner, supposedly hitting his throat against the turnbuckle so that he couldn't breathe and the match was stopped. Okay, this is a bit weird, but fair enough. But then they showed a slow-mo replay of his chest hitting the turnbuckle, his throat's nowhere near it at all, and I don't understand what happened, because the whole reason the match was stopped is because he got hit in the throat and couldn't breathe, but you've just shown us that he didn't get hit in the throat. So what is he doing down on the floor? What just happened? Why is Elias announcing himself as winner? Why isn't the actual announcer doing that? Because if the match is stopped, Elias does win the match. Why isn't JoJo there announcing him as the winner? It was just weird. Bobby Roode, in the space of 2 weeks, has gone from being the mystery man announced at the end of a 10-man tag match because he's the big signing for Raw, to being a fella who hurt his poorly chest and can't breathe and is now losing to Elias and just tumbling down the card. Presumably, they've got to be turning him heel soon, which is why they're just allowing him to be treated this way so that it doesn't matter, because everything gets reset when he turns heel, presumably, because it was just weird. I cannot get my head around what that was all about. Goodness me, there's a lot going on in the chat that I haven't been paying attention to. So let's scan through some of this. We'll take a little bit of pause on the review for a moment. Jack never wants to see Braun and Roman in a tag team ever again. Well, I suspect you're probably going to. They're the two biggest baby faces on Raw, despite the fact that Roman gets booked constantly. Ben says WWE need to book their heels much better because all three of the heels in the six-man tag are yet to win a match, which leads to a three-man main event, and Lashley, Strowman and Reigns are all babyface. That's a good point. Owens and Zayn are just losing constantly since they've been on Raw, and we found out, was it during the show or after the show, that that's been added to Backlash now. It's going to be Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Well, obviously Strowman wins, Lashley's there too, and Zayn and Owens just can't win. It's bizarre. Paul doesn't want to see Braun teaming with anyone. Yeah, I'll agree with that as well. He needs to be out on his own, unless he's teaming with Alexa Bliss. I don't mind that, because I just think that's funny. I really like that as a combo. So Roman hit Owens and Sami. Okay, so this is how the breakdown happened. Roman hit Owens and Sami. Jinder and Sunil attacked Roman. Fair enough. That makes sense. Bobby Lashley hasn't got a reaction since Raw after Mania. I suspect he'll just be mid-card talent, says Jack. Yeah, I'll agree with that, but they seem to be really trying to get him to have some of the Braun Strowman rub by partnering with him. But then if you want to do that, don't put him in the position he was put in tonight, where there's the two most loved men on the roster, or the three most loved men in the building that night, with the two most hated men in the building. And it just makes Lashley stick out as the man nobody cares about out of the six of them. And say what you want about Roman Reigns, and I know a lot of people don't like him, but, and I know it's WWE's party line, at least people care. And that point was really hammered home during this episode of Raw, I think. Not even by the commentary, by the situation. Because you saw with Bobby Lashley, people just didn't care. And he's been booked really poorly since he arrived. Nitro loves Elias. Elias is cool. The match just didn't make sense. Paul says, I think this could be leading to a double turn, Rude heel and Elias face. Yeah, I think Elias probably needs to turn face. The crowd love him, but then it was a really heelish way to win a match. So if you're planning on a double turn, then I don't understand why you book the match in that manner. As Ben says, Elias is too good at drawing heat from the crowds to be turned babyface. Yeah, but he also... Elias just gets reactions. When he wants them to cheer, they cheer. When he wants them to sing along, they sing along. And when he wants them to boo, he gets them to boo. The crowd eat out of Elias's hand. He could be heel or babyface and be massively successful. Similar to someone like Kevin Owens, who always gets the crowd to do exactly what he wants them to do. Ben says, Kev, watch the Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman ride along on WWE Network. It's so funny. I saw that advertised at the end of Raw. I do plan to watch it. I really like those two together. It's very, very cool. Right, let's get back into my Raw. We'll join back in with the chat towards the end of this episode. So the Authors of Pain defeated two local jobbers. And then, I mean, did they chew the microphone or were they trying to make words form out of their mouths? Because it didn't make any sense. And I was just sat there thinking... Why did we get rid of Paul Ellering? These two actually can't talk. It's going to ruin them. They look really threatening when they're in the match together. I still don't understand the super collider they call it, where they get the two guys up for the powerbomb and tap them together really lightly and then powerbomb them. I don't really get what slightly bumping their backs together is supposed to achieve. You need to smack them together for it to look effective, but I guess that's pretty dangerous. But they just can't talk. And unless they learn to talk or get a manager, then I don't see them getting very far, because there are plenty of teams on Raw or in WWE in general who are just as threatening but can actually talk. The Bludgeon Brothers are a great example. They can talk. Sanity can talk. Authors of Pain, I know they're on a different brand to those two, but they can't talk. And if you put them in a feud with Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre and Ziggler can both talk. Put them in a feud with the Deleters of Worlds, is that what they're calling themselves? They can both talk, and talking is such a massive part of it. And Authors of Pain, they're going to have problems unless they get a manager or learn to use language. Ruby Riott defeated Sasha Banks thanks to heavy, heavy interference from the rest of the Riott Squad. I mean, it's a decent match. Ruby Riott's quite good. I like the whole Riott Squad act. It's a lot better than Absolution was, and I think they did well to swap these two over, because I think the Riott Squad definitely has potential to be around for a little while. I don't really get the storyline that they're doing at the moment, because I thought Sasha Banks turned heel like 2 weeks ago. But apparently she didn't. She's still a babyface. And she's up against a faction. So presumably she's going to need Bayley to come and help her. But I thought she turned heel on Bayley. And I'm confused. It's nice, the fact that we've got multiple feuds going on in the women's division, though. Which is... it's been quite rare for us to have several major storylines in the women's division on one brand. So I'm behind that. I just don't really get the story. And Bayley wasn't there at all, which was also a little bit weird. And we then had the big six-man tag match, Roman, Strowman, Lashley against Owen, Zayn and Jinder. I don't understand. And is this what we've decided we're going to book Braun Strowman as at the moment? He's just going to be, this is 3 weeks in a row where it's been a tag match, where the tag just goes on and on and on. It's back and forth. They delay the tag to Braun some more. And then eventually, in he tags, he steamrollers everyone and he picks up the win. I mean, I know Bobby Lashley is in an ongoing battle to get people to remember he exists, but surely if you try and view wrestling as a sport, a competitive sport where you want to win, Lashley just says to Strowman before Sunday, you know what, Braun, why don't you start this one? Because, you know, it's nothing's going to happen until you get in anyway. You may as well start, wrap it up quickly. Because what we know is Braun Strowman can defeat Owens and Zayn just by running at them. So Lashley doesn't need to be there. Strowman really... We'd just bring back Nicholas. It would be just as effective a match if it was Braun Strowman and Nicholas against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn at the pay-per-view. I don't really get what they're doing with Owens and Zayn on a brand that needs top-level heels. I don't understand why arguably the most talented heel in the company in the shape of Kevin Owens is being booked in a mid-card jobber tag team. It makes no sense. I'm glancing back over at the chat. So Paul's saying Lashley's heel work in TNA was decent. Can play arrogant, okay. Get him turning on Braun at Backlash for instant heat. I mean, that might be what this whole thing is about. That would make sense. I can get on board with that. Jack says, all Elias did was push Rude chest first into the turnbuckle. Nothing heelish about that. He threw him neck first into the turnbuckle and then announced himself the winner. Just the fact that he's announcing himself the winner was pretty heelish. Jack's saying they were speaking Iranian. I think they're from Iran. They're not from Iran, Jack, the authors of pain. One of them's American and one of them's from the Netherlands, I think. And I'm pretty sure they was trying to talk English. And the Office of Pain is soon to be the revival level of unnecessary and irrelevant. Yeah, Ben's hit the nail on the head there. How many tag teams... When was the last time a tag team came up from NXT and was actually anywhere close to as good as they were in NXT? You can go back through the revival, through American Alpha, through what they're called, the ones with the face paint whose name escapes me. But they were all good in NXT and then they come up and they change the act and it doesn't work. Paul says, have the Bludgeon Brothers said anything since the repackage? Yeah, they go, Harper, Rowan, Bludgeon Brothers, when they do the little promo things, don't they? Plus, they just both stand there looking at Naomi's bum, so that's basically talking. Ben says, all of the big matches recently on Raw have been house show-esque multi-man matches, 10 man on Raw after Mania, 10 women last... I mean, that's just the nature of WWE TV. They do a lot of multi-person matches anyway. I don't think that's anything unique. Ben's worried if Lashley does turn on Braun because he couldn't even perform his finisher on Big Cass, what hope does he have to work with Braun? Yeah, I mean, that was scary, the way he dropped Cass twice at the Gurr. I don't really see how you have a Lashley versus anyone of any decent size program, really. The rumour was he was going to work with Brock Lesnar. Presumably that's not happening now. If he's now working with Strowman, he's not going to be able to do his moves on him because he's all about showing off his big holding, delayed, suplexy power moves. And you can't do that against a man who's, 6'8" and 400 pounds or whatever ridiculous weight Braun Strowman is. It's crazy. No Way Jose then defeated Baron Corbin because Titus O'Neil now falls over a lot, apparently, after his beautiful slide at Gurr, which I'm already getting a little bit bored of. I've seen enough of the GIF now. I don't need WWE to keep showing it on Raw as well. I'm glad the fall he did on the apron was in storyline fake as well, because it looked awful. And at the time I thought, oh no, seriously, he's not just going to be the man who falls over a lot, is he? And he might still be the man who falls over a lot, but at least it then became part of the story and it was deliberate in story as well, or else I might have just turned off at that point. But Baron Corbin is another heel who's come over from SmackDown, who potentially, as much as I don't like Baron Corbin, because he did his little promo at the start of this where there was no reaction at all. A crowd that had been hot for everything all night. Corbin comes out scripted to say what you want. You know, you can argue with me if you want. No one cares. They've just started boring chants. So already no one cares. And then they book him to lose against No Way Jose with interference from Titus Worldwide. Baron Corbin's not going to the main event anytime soon, is he? Goodness me. Natalya beat Mickie James. It was a fairly nothing match and it was all about just getting Ronda Rousey on telly, I think. But to have Ronda Rousey on telly, not even entering to our own theme tune, and then not able to catch Alexa Bliss despite running at full speed. I don't know what they're trying to do with Ronda Rousey. Has there been a match involving Ronda announced for the pay-per-view? I assumed you were leading up to Ronda versus Mickie James, but are they not doing that at Backlash? Is that now being moved on to whatever the next pay-per-view is? If so, I'm confused. I don't really get what this match was for, other than the fact that they're still not letting Alexa do anything physical after her boob job. How is she going to... is she going to be ready to face Nia Jax? She has literally not taken a bump since WrestleMania because she's been healing from her surgery. So I guess she was able to sprint last night, but I am a little bit worried that she's not going to be ready to face Nia, and then that's going to be a bit of a disaster as well. Nia Jax came out for a minute there. I thought we were going to have a little bit of tension between her and Ronda Rousey, but no, they just did the babyface smiling thing. Because if there's one thing we've learned on last night's Raw, it's if you're booked to be a babyface, you're automatically friends with all the other babyfaces, just like Roman and Braun Strowman are now best buddies. And apparently Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax are big pals as well, despite the fact that I don't think they've ever been in a ring together before that moment. And then we got a really good wrestling match. Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor. It's a shame that this program is presumably coming to an end. This should be a Universal title program. They're the two best wrestlers on Raw. They had another really good match. I don't know, Finn Balor maybe needs to turn heel just to give this a reason to keep going. In the same way as if you could sort of follow the same shape and structure they've used with the AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura feud over on SmackDown. And now it feels like it's kind of run its course and Seth Rollins has won the feud, assuming he comes back from Backlash with the Intercontinental title, which I guess he has to do, unless they do go with my plan of moving The Miz over with the title if he wins, because there's no US title match at the moment. So the titles can't swap this time. And on a brand that already has a Universal title that's never defended, you surely can't have no mid-card title either. So Seth must be winning at the weekend, unless they do bring The Miz back and go with Kev's master plan to get The Miz back on Raw and keep him away from Daniel Bryan. And maybe The Miz wins with an assist from Finn Balor, and that's where you get his heel turn from. I think I'm clutching at straws a little bit there, though, but it was just a really good match between these two. And I hope they have something decent for Finn to move on to now, because there was little hints that Seth might be positioning himself to be the man to face Brock Lesnar next. He had a little bit of a dig against Brock Lesnar in his promo, and assuming, I mean, I guess he's got to have one more match with Roman yet after the botched finish at Gurr, whenever that might be. But maybe Seth Rollins might be next in the queue if Lesnar continues to retain. But I guess next time Roman does win it and Seth never gets his shot, and this is all for nothing. But this is a good feud between two good wrestlers, and I enjoyed it. It was good to see a good wrestling match, main event in Raw. More of that. It was a good episode of Raw all in all, really. If you are watching live, let me know down in the chat what you think of this episode of Raw. I'm going to slip back into the chat for a few more comments from you guys again. Right, Jack says, it's mad to think what Backlash is missing out on. Finn Balor, Bray and Matt, assuming they're not defending the titles. Obviously, Brock, Braun in a stupid tag team, and you haven't even started on SmackDown yet. I guess there'll be a tag team title defense on the pre-show, maybe? What's the point in having them win the tag titles and then not having them defended? That seems a little bit odd. You could probably have them in a pre-show match against Titus Worldwide and have Titus fall over and Matt yell wonderful and the match is over and just, I don't know, if you make it a comedy match, that might be a way to just get them involved. Yeah, Jack, I noticed that Nia Jax came out without the belt. I guess that's because she was chasing Alexa Bliss, and you can't really... I mean, it's not like she can wrap the belt around her and run. She has to hold it, and you can't really run holding a belt. So I kind of understand it. Oh, Ben says apparently Nia dropped the belt before running to the ring. But yeah, it felt a little bit weird that she was in the ring without the belt on. That seemed a little bit weird. Ben says, Randy Orton has been number one contender for the US title since SmackDown after WrestleMania. Yeah, but he can't bring the title to Raw. What I meant when I said there's no US title match, presumably they are booking Jeff Hardy against Randy Orton on SmackDown tonight, but the outcome of that match doesn't bring that title to Raw. So if you're going to keep the Intercontinental title on Raw, then either Seth Rollins has to win or The Miz has to win and then come back to Raw with the title. I think that's quite a likely outcome, because I've been saying that since before Guru. Jack says, I thought Thin was on the cusp of a heel turn. His facials and his monologuing in the ring were fairly heelish. Yeah, I think he's almost there. But then it makes even less sense that you've taken Gallows and Anderson away from him, because if he's going heel, having him heel head of a heel Balor Club faction would have been brilliant. Unless that's the reason they moved Gallows and Anderson, because they didn't want those two going heel for some inexplicable reason. They needed a jobber tag team who were babyface, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, it just if Finn Balor's going heel, then he needs his boys with him, and they can be a proper heel faction. Ben says, Finn heel doesn't work without the Balor Club. Yeah, exactly what I'm saying. Unless Finn does team with the Miztourage. Gordon Bennett, that sounds horrific. It does seem odd that the Miztourage, after turning on the Miz in his final match on Raw, are now still coming out to his music, despite the fact they came out to their own theme songs at the Greatest Royal Rumble. So I think they've gone a little bit odd. But I really hope we don't have Finn Balor with the Miztourage, because what an absolute waste of an opportunity that would be. Why not just send the Miztourage to SmackDown to work with the Miz, where they work quite well as a unit, and bring Gallows and Anderson to Raw to do the Balor Club, where they work well as a unit. It's just messing around with things for the sake of messing around with things. If you put the Miztourage with Finn Balor, it makes zero sense. But all in all, a decent episode of Raw. The main event was really good. It was good to see Braun Strowman flattening people again. The crowd made it a much better show than it probably was. I just think it was all very, very cool. And by the way, did Seth Rollins challenge Finn Balor to a match for the NXT title, or did I mishear him? I'm pretty sure he said, do you want to see me take on Finn for the NXT title tonight? And I thought, yeah, fair enough. What's his face? Aleister Black might have something to say about it. But yeah, you fight for the NXT title if you want, lads. But all in all, a decent show. Hopefully SmackDown continues in that vein and produces a decent show of its own. Hopefully this will finally be the night that AJ Styles wears some kind of genital protection, because then he'll be unbeatable against Nakamura. And I'll be back at roughly this time tomorrow with my thoughts on that. If you have enjoyed this, please make sure you leave a thumbs up for this if you're over on YouTube, or if you're listening on iTunes, make sure you leave a 5-star rating and a nice little review telling me why it's your favourite podcast in the universe. In fact, even if you don't listen on iTunes, it would be really helpful if you went over and did that anyway, because the more 5-star ratings and reviews that we get, the more likely we are to move into the new and noteworthy, which is how you pick up new listeners, which is how you grow a podcast. So it would be massively appreciated if you could head over there and do that. But for those of you watching live, thank you very much for watching. For everybody else, thank you very much for listening. And I shall be back tomorrow with SmackDown. Toodle pip, folks.